Well, Romans chapter 1. When was the last time that you thanked God for His wonderful Word, how it speaks to our heart, how the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and makes us a better child of God because of it? And we need to thank Him often, how wonderful the Word of God is. Romans chapter 1, we're going to begin reading in verse 14. Romans chapter 1, verse 14. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written several times in the Word of God, the just shall live by faith. Paul felt a deep sense of responsibility in three areas that's given in the text. First of all, he said, I am a debtor to the lost. Someone was there when he was lost and helped him. And because of that, he felt a debt to all the lost people in this world. Second of all, he said, I am ready to preach the gospel. He knew the power of the gospel. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And then third, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it alone, ladies and gentlemen, can save your soul. He would become the greatest credential the gospel ever produced because of those three things that he took very, very seriously. When Paul said this, as much as in me is, have you ever wondered what he had in his life? Whatever it was, I'll tell you something we need. I found four things that Paul had that you and I need and we better have in our life. First of all, the Lord was in him. Paul invited him into his heart on the road to Damascus. And his first thought after inviting Christ into his life, the first thing that he said after that was, Lord, what do you want me to do? What wilt thou have me to do? Let's read the story in Acts chapter 9. Back to the left a little bit in your Bible. Acts chapter 9. And let's read the first six verses here. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, those are the Christians, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, I believe at that moment he was saved. When he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. When you have Christ in your heart, we talked about it last Sunday night, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are to keep it clean. We are to keep it in good repair. Now I want you to go with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. When you have Christ in your heart, some other things happen to us. And these are wonderful. 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One. That's you and that's me. That's all of us. We have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. If we will open up our heart to the Holy Spirit, He will teach us all things. Now look at verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. Talking about eternal security there. We have an unction in us, ladies and gentlemen, and it is forever. And if we will open up our hearts and our minds to the Holy Spirit, He will teach us all things. And then the Bible says in verse 27, and the same anointing teaches you of all things and is truth and is no lie. And even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in Him. You have all you need with God in you. And that's what the Apostle Paul had. Let me give you just a couple of thoughts. What you have. First of all, you have the Lord's strength. Paul will tell the Philippian church, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You have strength that's given you by God. And then the Lord will send you. He will give you someone to go witness to. Because, ladies and gentlemen, that is the most important thing in this world. He will give you someone that He will send you to, that you are to be a witness to them and to help them become a child of God. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. And let's begin reading in verse 1 here. Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia. And from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salome, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. He will give you someone. He will send you to someone that needs the message that you have. And we ought to be thankful. Second of all, the labor of others was in Him as much as in me is. The labor of others was in Him. There's not a person here but what someone labored to get you where you are. You're not here just because of yourself. You are here because somebody labored. Somebody talked to you. Someone directed you. You've heard me say this before. If you ever see a turtle on a fence post, you know he didn't get there by himself. somebody helped him. And ladies and gentlemen, we have not gotten to this place in our life by ourselves. Someone has helped us. Acts chapter 15 now. And look at verse 26. Acts chapter 15 and verse 26. Men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In our world today, there's people who have hazarded their lives so that they might be a blessing to others and lead them to Christ. I just heard of a missionary in India. Perhaps you heard how he was horribly beaten simply because he was preaching the Word of God. I mean, horribly beaten. Okay. People have put their lives on the line to get the gospel out and to get the gospel in our hearts. Go with me now to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We'll begin reading in verse 32. And if Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, here's what Paul said, and I think that he did write the book of Hebrews, but there's some controversy about that. And what shall I say, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. They did that so that they might be a blessing to other people and take the sweet story of salvation to others. And Paul just said, as much as in me is, I have people who have labored for me. Go with me now to Romans chapter 16, the last chapter in the book of Romans. In this chapter, there's 26 people that Paul mentions. And he mentions a couple in verses 3 and 4. And these were people that helped lead him to Christ. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. He says, I want you to greet Priscilla and Aquila. These people laid down their lives for me. And I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, we need what Paul had in him, the labor of others. Third, he had a love for the work of God that started the moment he got saved. There is no other work like God's work. Paul loved the work of God, and he loved a church that worshiped God. He loved going to the churches. And in their worship, the work of God was very, very evident. Go with me to Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. And look at verse 14. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. When we come to this place, we are to worship God in spirit and in truth. In spirit means to let the Holy Spirit control your life and control your worship. We are to yield to His leadership. What He tells us we should do, we are to do it. And when we come to the house of God, we're being obedient to the Spirit of God. We are to worship in spirit. And then when the Bible says, and in truth is speaking about the Word of God, that is absolute truth. And I guarantee you, as long as I am in this pulpit, when you come to this place, you are going to get the Word of God. We're going to say, turn in the Bible to this and this and this. You're going to get the Word of God. And you say, well, don't all churches do that? I wish that were the case. But it is not anymore. Tina and I went to a church in Boston years ago when we were there. It was the fifth church that was founded when America was populated by the Puritans. Mr. Bradford, who was the first pastor there, was a good man. But that church had degenerated to just social and climate issues. That's all on the walls. There weren't Christian things. It was just, we need to get behind this bill and this and this and this and this. And I thought, what a shame. All churches do not do what I'm talking about now. Last of all, the last thing that Paul had in him was a willingness to work hard for Christ. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And look at verse 15. Every pastor has gone through this. Paul said this to this church at Corinth. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved of you. Every pastor has gone through that. You pour your life into some folks in the church, and the more abundantly you love them, the less you are loved of them. Okay? Paul worked hard in the vineyard where God placed him. Here's what it cost the Apostle Paul to labor in God's vineyard. Back up just a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's begin reading in verse 23. Here's what it cost him. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Five times 40 is 200 less five, 195 stripes on him. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. a night and a day I have been in the deep, that's in the ocean, dog paddling out somewhere, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. And about right here, I get to thinking, oh, Kim, don't you ever fuss about what your Christianity has cost you. Okay. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must glory, I will glory of things which concern mine infirmities. Now chapter 12. Look at verses 9 and 10. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. What's it going to cost us, folks? In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said this, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Therefore, my beloved brethren, do this. God help us to do it. Father, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your daily grace in our life, for watching over us, for just being so good to us. And dear Father, every